Hello, welcome to another message titled Knocking on the Door of Mercy. So just yesterday, I was confessing one of my favorite scriptures again. That is, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. So I was confessing this scripture. Normally I confess good news scriptures, all the scriptures that talk about what Jesus Christ did for us when he died on the cross. I just love confessing those scriptures because that is faith. The Lord himself has taught me that I need to have great faith in what Christ has done in the finished work of the cross. So I have a lot of the good news scriptures, but this one, I love it so much. So I was confessing it. Having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. Several times I've confessed this scripture, the Lord normally gives me victory just through this scripture alone. So while I was confessing this scripture, I went into a trance. I was in a vision. Then I saw myself. I was knocking so loudly on the door. I was knocking on the door of mercy very loudly. And so I was very happy with that revelation. So the Lord was still teaching me something, confirming something to me that as long as my faith is 100% on what God has done and I can rejoice in it, celebrate it, you know, that's God's love. That's God's love made manifest. And I can focus on that. I don't focus on what the enemy is doing. That's how I'm going to keep getting my victory. That's how I'm going to keep having intimacy and communion with God. So it's very important for you to constantly focus on what Christ has done, while at the same time, making sure you're keeping yourself away from sin, from unclean things. You're keeping yourself pure, putting on the garment of righteousness and holiness. You're doing that. While you're doing that, you're having faith in God and you're practicing faith, because the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. So as long as you're living your life this way, you're going to be constantly having victory. That's just the way it works. Now I recall now that in the past also, when I'm confessing these good news scriptures, I recall, yeah, the Lord himself has also shown me visions where I'm confessing the good news scriptures. As I'm confessing it, I will see myself in a vision. I'm kissing the feet of the Lord, or I'm kissing his hands. You know, so he's showing me that that is worship. That is deep worship. That's the meaning of that vision. And I've realized that it's not really only when I'm confessing the good news that that happens. Also, when I'm telling him, I love you, I worship you, or when I'm praising the Lord, or when I'm thanking the Lord, or even sometimes when I'm having petition, I'm telling him, Lord, please do this for me. Also, various times he has also shown me myself in the vision, kissing his feet or kissing his hand. So those are all forms of fellowship. Those are all forms of intimacy, communion with God. That's just what it is, you know. So he's showing me that all those things matter. So you need to incorporate all those things in your prayer, but do not forget that the foundation of our Christian faith is the death of Jesus on the cross. So just do everything you need to do. That's why I keep saying practice every form of prayer, but make sure you have great faith in what God has done, because that is the foundation. So your foundation must be complete, your faith must be complete, and your works too must be complete. Your works must be complete. You must walk in line with the word of God, just like how Jesus and Paul walked in line with the word of God. Make sure you keep away from everything that is unclean. As long as you're living your life this way, you're having complete faith, you're having complete works, you also have expectation. Like you have complete love, you have expectation. Like when you're praying, you believe that what you're praying for is going to come to pass. If you're living your life this way, you're gonna be experiencing constant victory. I've realized that that's how it works for me. These keys, God gave me these keys, these secrets over several years, decades, you know. So I'm just sharing the secrets that God has given to me, and constantly I'm experiencing the presence of God. In fact, for the past how many days now, it's been so constant. God has just been increasing his glory and his presence, and in fact teaching me so many things, telling me so many things that are going to happen in this end time is revealing a lot to me. So I will encourage you, make sure that you have faith in what God has done. Make sure also that you have works, you have love, you're walking in love towards one another. You're just doing everything that God wants you to do. But make sure that your faith is complete. It's very important, because faith is going to take you right into the presence of God. So recall the scripture that says, knock and the door will be opened unto you. So that's knocking. So that's a way to knock. So that's as the Lord showed me in that vision, in that trance. That's a way to knock. So learn how to constantly confess the good news. Not just confess, rejoicing. In fact, I think it was two days ago, I was just confessing that scripture. Next thing, an inexplicable joy took over me. I was so happy. Just once I recalled that scripture, I just found out that I was filled with joy. That's why I keep saying, you can have joy and peace and happiness even in the midst of trials, regardless of the kind of trial you have. Because this joy that I experienced was from inside. It was internal. It was not external, and it was not related to anything external. Jesus himself said, he said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So there are many reasons for you to rejoice. If you form this habit of being positive and constantly rejoicing, don't grumble against God. Just focus your eyes and your mind on what God has done, on what God can do also, because God is God of yesterday, today, and forever. He's not just God of the past. He's God of the present. He's God of the future. So also focus on what God is doing, what God can also do for you in the future. Just, you know, focus on the power of God, on his ability. Focus on God. As long as your eyes, you keep your eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, he's going to be finishing your faith. And at the same time, he's going to be doing for you what you never even expected that he would do for you. He'll surprise you in ways that you never expected before. So keep knocking on that door of mercy. Keep believing in the good news and keep putting on your robe of righteousness. Make sure you do not stain your garment. Keep away from immorality and idol worship, especially sexual immorality. These are things that weigh you down when you're trying to move forward. Another thing I must emphasize is, when you're confessing the scriptures, make sure you do it for a long time. When you're meditating on the scriptures, it's not just saying, I have faith, and then you just do it for 1 minute or 2 minutes, and the rest of your day, you spend it watching all sorts of things, reading all sorts of books, playing around. It's not gonna work. That's not how it works. Time is the key word here. Make sure you spend time in the presence of God. The right faith is the faith that spends time in the presence of God. So if you're confessing the scriptures, the good news, make sure you fill your heart with the good news. And it is when you spend time, long time, not small, when you spend time, enough time in the presence of God, that's how you soak in that presence of God. That's how I've realized that it works for me. So the word of God can be scanty in you, while the word of God can be full in you. So let the word of God dwell richly in you. And the way it's going to dwell richly in you is that you've spent enough time in the presence of God. Just like how Jesus used to spend time in the presence of God, make sure that you're constantly spending time in the presence of God. Time, that's the key word there. I've realized that a lot of people just say, we have faith. They think it. Yes, it's good. You think the good news and you go. You haven't spent enough time in the presence of God. That's why you're not having any result. Spend time. That good news that you know, knowing is different from soaking in. When you know that good news, make sure you know it just with your head. You know it, you confess it, but spend time. If you want it to enter into your heart, you want it to go and live deep inside your heart, it's the word of God that is dwelling deep in your heart. That is the one that produces result. That is the one that attracts the presence of God and the glory of God. So make sure you spend time. And it is by spending time meditating, confessing, soaking in the good news, you can say different good news, you can confess different good news, or you can even confess just three. There are many of them, you know. So when I have time, I could just put some of them, you know, with this video, so that you, on the description part of this video, so that you can see an example of some of the good news scriptures that you need to confess. Soak in the scriptures. That's what's going to help you. And make sure that you're always thanking God, you're always praising God, you're always rejoicing in him, you're always celebrating him. Just take away negative mind or negative mentality from yourself. Just make sure that you're not attracting bad thoughts about yourself about God and about others to yourself. Don't soak in those kind of thoughts. As long as you're not soaking in negative thoughts and you're constantly being positive towards God, you're exalting Him, you're magnifying Him, you're thanking Him, you're rejoicing Him, you're celebrating Him, celebrating Christ for what He did, you're going to have victory. That's how God works. God has His own principles about faith and about how He works. And if you walk this way, you're going to have victory. For me, for several years, I'm going to call it decades, because it's for decades I've been doing this, and it has consistently worked this way for me. So the next point I'm going to be taking now is, it is a way of knocking and asking. So it's a way of knocking and asking. When you're confessing the good news, confessing what Christ is for you, thanking Him, and as you're even confessing, you're saying, thank you, Jesus, I praise you, I love you. You know, you're combining everything together and you're still confessing the scripture. You're still confessing the scriptures. By His stripes, I'm healed. Having disarmed principalities and powers, He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. And then you're saying, thank you, Jesus, I love you, thank you for what you've done. If your mind is that way, you're going to see that thing you're looking at as very big is going to become very little, because spiritually you'll be enlarging God, enlarging what Christ has done, what God has done, and that thing is going to be shrinking. And you know, the devil is going to know that you know the word of God, and it's going to keep away from you. So when you're having a bad dream, or you're having an attack, or something bad is happening around you, make sure you do not focus on that. Do not think that, because the devil is injecting those thoughts and dreams. And you know, dreams and visions and trances are higher forms of thought. So they're putting it in that kind of aggressive form so that you'll be thinking it. Don't think about that. Replace that with the word of God, regardless of how big that attack is, or how, you know, how magnified the devil has done it, you know, maybe in the dream or in the triumph, and then you woke up so scared. Or make sure you don't dwell on that. That's the key. That's how you're going to defeat the devil. Make sure, just discard it as rubbish and replace it with the word of God. Begin to thank God, celebrate God, thank Him for His love, thank Him for the finished work of the cross, because nothing is going to fight the word of God and win. As long as you have faith in that word of God, it is the word of God that will win. Whatever opposing thoughts coming in forms of dreams and attacks and trances coming to contradict that word of God, it will fail if you don't give that thing an upper hand. If you refuse to meditate on those things that you're seeing in your dream, in your visions, or in whatever way, or even people are telling you, or you're watching it, that's why you should be careful about what you watch, because thoughts of fear and lack of faith are being projected from all angles. So that's why I don't watch worldly things. I keep my mind pure. I don't even have enough time to do what I'm doing. I don't have time to watch those worldly things. Make sure you're keeping away from negative communications. In fact, the Lord was talking to me about negative communications some days ago. And He was telling me, you know, negative communications are ways of life, that you always see people who communicate negatively, but make sure you're on top. That's what He told me. Make sure you're on top of negative communication. If you're communicating with someone, and this is someone that there's no way for you to cut this person out of your life, and the person maybe is using language or talking to you in a way that will make you feel silly, or will make you feel down, or make you, you know, project some form of negative idea about yourself to you, what the Lord told me, say, anytime you encounter such people exist, just know it, that negative communications exist. They are parts of life, but make sure they don't settle in you. That was what He told me. He said, start telling yourself instantly, I'm beautiful, I'm loved. Just instantly begin to tell yourself what God has said about you. That's it. So that's how I'm living my life now. As the Lord is teaching me these things, I'm making sure that I'm living my life this way, and I'm passing these secrets across to you. Regardless of whatever, make sure that nobody's negative opinion about you settles in you, and make sure that God's opinion about you, which is this word of God telling you you have been redeemed, you are cleansed, you are free, you know, just telling you how wonderful you are. You're purified. Even you have already been made to live above sin. You're the one who is choosing to live without sin, fornication, or whatever. God has cleansed you from everything. So it's for you now to cooperate with God and make sure you keep away from everything that is unclean. As long as your faith is complete and your love walk, your loving well is complete, you're living in holiness and purity, and your faith is very important to God, is complete. Spending time in the presence of God, rejoicing in Him, celebrating Him, confessing this good news, thanking God for what He has done. done. You are going to constantly live in victory. That is how it has worked for me consistently. The Lord will just manifest himself to me and he will begin to talk to me, show me deep things, show me mysteries. That's how I live. I keep my mind, my eyes focused on Christ, on the word of God and on what God has done and on what God wants me to do, the commandments of God. I make sure that's how my focus is. So also know that this word of God that you're confessing, for instance, having these armed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. It is the door of mercy that you are knocking on. So it's the mercy of God, it's the covenant of God, it's the forgiveness of God that is finished already. It is that door. You are reminding God of what he has done, and he's very happy when you remind him of his word and his covenant. You are reminding God about his covenant of forgiveness and mercy. You proclaim his death until he comes again. That's what you're doing, because you know the scripture says that anytime you're having holy communion, taking the bread and wine, you are proclaiming his death until he comes again. That's why you shouldn't worship the communion. It's not the communion, it is the death on the cross that redeemed you. It's not the communion that redeemed you. But when you're taking that communion, you are proclaiming that death. So it is that confession and proclaiming the death of Jesus, that you're proclaiming that the death of Jesus set you free. The death of Jesus set you free, redeemed you, purified you, cleansed you, you're celebrating him. That's how you are attracting the presence of God. So you are not going to leave what God did, the finished work of on the cross, and the glory that Jesus has at the right hand of God, and begin to worship a piece of bread. So there is no wisdom in that. So I don't know, this is not rocket science, but some people are doing that. So just realize that it is that proclamation. As long as you're proclaiming, you're confessing the death of Jesus, that the death of Jesus Christ on the cross set you free. You're rejoicing in Christ for what he has done. You're celebrating God for what he did, celebrating Christ, thanking him, praising him. You're happy. You're genuinely happy as you contemplate the great works of God. As long as you're living your life this way, you're going to be having victory. In fact, the devil will keep away from you because you're putting on the word of God. God wants you to put on your white garment. So as long as you're putting on the word of God, you're putting on your white garment. In fact, I recall, even as I was proclaiming the word of God, confessing those scriptures, I remember now that the Lord clothed me with white garment. Beautiful white garment. And the Lord even said something to me yesterday. I'm going to make a video on that. That Christians do not know that they need to renew their strength every day. That was how he said it. That some people renew their strength monthly, but Christians do not realize that they need to renew their strength every day. So that's how you renew your strength every day, by constantly putting on the word of God and celebrating God for what he has done, and also walking in holiness and purity, setting aside time to fellowship with God, thank him, praise him, you know, just rejoice in the Lord and thank him for what he has done. As long as you're living your life this way, you're going to be constantly attracting the presence of God. So you're going to be renewing the presence of God every day. Like for me, I try my best to renew the presence of God every day, because that's what God expects from you. So when you're doing this, you're also resting in his love. When you're thanking him for what he has done, for the cross, that the death of Jesus on the cross that set you free. You know, having these armed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. To him who loved me and has washed me from my sins in his own blood, be glory, praise, and adoration. When you are confessing these scriptures, you are resting in the love of God, because that's the love of God made manifest. Another one is the death and sacrifice of Jesus on the cross is his love, is the love of God that you're actually confessing. Have faith in this love. So you need to have faith in this love. As long as you're having faith in this love, then God, he'll be manifesting his glory to you. And the glory of God is also the love of God made manifest. So believe in the love of God. Then that love of God will be made manifest in your life. So the glory of God is his tangible love you obtain by faith. So the glory of God is the tangible love that you obtain by faith. While the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is the love of God that you obtain by faith. So as long as you're putting your faith in that love of God, how Jesus died for you, you're walking in it, you're walking in the word of God, you're celebrating the love of God. As long as you're doing that, then the manifest presence of God, the glory of God, that is the tangible love of God that you can feel, that one is going to be made manifest in you. You know, the other one is that you don't really feel it. you don't feel it, but you're confessing it, you're believing it, and that one is by believing. When you're saying having this armed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them. That's by believing. That's by faith. Jesus set me free. You're rejoicing. He thanked God because your name is written in heaven. You're celebrating God for other. That's by faith. You're doing that by believing. But as you're doing that now, this glory of God is the love of God in a tangible form. That you need it. You need that love of God in a tangible form. So that love of God is going to come upon you, and then you're going to feel it in a tangible form. You're going to feel the tangible reality of God, the fire of God. This glory of God is the fire of God. Once you're clothed with that fire of God, no power can withstand you, and everything that has gone wrong in your life will be corrected. In fact, remember I said something ago, that the Lord told me that once you're putting on the fire of God, that glory of God, He Himself is the one that is going to attract your husband to you, your God-ordained husband. People marry people's husbands and wives, but God will be the one to bring your husband to you. Even if somebody has taken your husband away from you, it is this fire of God that is in your aura that is going to bring back your husband to you, because nobody has the right to steal your husband or your wife. But the thing is that the Lord also told me that in the spirit world, it is power that matters there. That is what operates in the spirit world. So when you encounter someone that has higher power than you, the person might not be born again, but you are naked. Even though you're born again, you're not putting on the fire of God. While that person's operating with demonic power, the person takes your husband away from you. That's what the Lord told me. The person will use magic and charm and demonic power to take away your husband. So that is why you should know that you should constantly put on the fire of God, because the fire of God is superior to every demonic power, every power that the kingdom of God mimics, that tries to imitate something that is of God. They use that, which is going to end up in their destruction anyway, but they use it. They are very desperate. They don't care if they go to hell. They don't care the punishment that God is going to give them, but they're so desperate, they use that evil power to take your husband or your wife away from you. Men do it too. They take people's wives. But if you have the fire of God, you wouldn't even ask God. God will just, that fire of God that is in your aura will just bring back your husband or your wife to you. That's, I know people that have stolen people's wives, so men also do it. We just bring back, as long as that's your wife, your God-ordained wife or husband, don't bother about someone that is not your wife, your God-ordained spouse, because it's not going to work. You're not going to cage somebody's husband or wife. If somebody is not part of your destiny, don't bother about that person. But if somebody is your God-ordained spouse, God Himself, that's the one God is interested in, and somebody has taken that away from you, God Himself, as long as you're confessing the scriptures, you're thanking God, you're celebrating, you're spending time with God, you're paying the price for the presence of God and the glory of God. Once that fire is in your aura, like me, I know when the fire of God is upon me because I'm a prophet, I can see what is happening. Once that fire of God is covered, has covered you, has covered your aura, is upon you, is all over you, God Himself is the one that will just magnetize, bring back that your husband or your wife to you and plant the person right in your aura. As long as that person is attached to you spiritually, there's something like attachment. The Lord explained it to me. That person will be attached to you spiritually. As long as that person is attached to you spiritually, physically, everything is going to work out. You just see the person coming back to apologize. There will be reconciliation because the Lord has done the spiritual work. It is that attachment that matters, and that is what the demonic people do. They use their demonic powers to take people's husbands or wives and attach to their aura, and the person is locked up and trapped and cannot leave them. That is the magic. God hates magic, and they're going to be destroyed for magic. But for you, you need to accomplish your destiny, and whatever injustice has been done to you, God can correct and will correct that injustice. So that's why you need to constantly put on the fire of God, not only about husband or wife, any other thing, even if it's your finances, your health, whatever has been caged and, gone wrong, whatever has gone wrong in your life, people have stolen your wealth spiritually and all that. People do that. God Himself, it is that fire of God that is in your aura that will bring back your wealth to you, bring back your health to you. Whatever has been taken away from you, God will restore it sevenfold. That's how God is going to do. So make sure that you have faith in God. Faith is very important, and love is also very important. Make sure that you have your eyes and your mind focused on Christ and what he has done and what he wants you to do and his laws and his commandments. As long as you're doing that, you're going to have victory. So that's my message for today. So I pray for you. I pray that the Lord himself will manifest himself to you. May God make you complete through the blood of Jesus Christ. May you have complete faith in the blood of Jesus and Holy Ghost fire. May you have complete faith in the finished work of the cross. May you constantly walk in holiness and righteousness. May God himself clothe you with the garment of humility. May the Lord bless you and keep you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Remain blessed. Have a good day. Bye.